The Nikki Byrne Show with Jenny Green on 2FM.
Proudly sponsored by Aldi. Enjoy the best of summer for less with our new Let's Eat range in store now.
15815.
You haven't gone mad. It is Liveline.
The light is on, you're right.
The light is on.
I'm learning. It's only taken me 6 weeks.
Joe Agony herself, Joe McNally, is in the hot seat. Joe, what have you got for us this week?
Hello, Nikki. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
My favourite little disc jockey.
Your hair looks great, by the way.
Thanks, Mel.
We were just admiring it there.
It is. And it's not extensions, it's real.
It's not extensions, that is my real hair.
We will put up a picture of you just for our listeners who, someone the other week thought that you were an L1 and we said no.
Well, no, someone also thought I was Vogue McFadden.
But that's probably worse than being an L1. No, I'm joking. I'm totally joking. Joe, just get into the letter, I was joking.
Anyway, continue on.
Okie dokie.
Fine.
So this letter, now, obviously I'd a slew of letters into me, as I always do. Mm-hmm. I was flat out. Me and my two interns. Two members of Westlife.
Sorry, who?
Two of your mates.
You were chatting to them?
This one.
Kane and Brian are
your interns. You don't even listen to me. Are you even listening to me on those headphones?
Sorry, start again.
He's on his phone.
Start again.
Oh, God.
Give me your phone.
Okay, so this letter is in from Lucy and Leitrim, and it's about money, right?
Because mm-hmm.
we're all a bit strapped for cash at the moment. Dear Joanne, I hope this letter finds you well. It finds me embarrassed. Me and my twin sister Nicole desperately need your help. Nicole and I were born 15 minutes apart. Our mother said she had time for one silk of purple and a quick martini before she was rudely interrupted and forced to sacrifice her figure a second time for me. Growing up, Nicole and I were as thick as thieves. That is, thick in the metaphorical sense, as both of us got over 375 in the leaving, and I once solved a Rubik's Cube while Nicole sang the Prodigy's Smack My Bitch Up into my face in a bit to distract me. Often we knew what the other was thinking. For example, this one time, I tried on a pair of hot pants that were made entirely from chainmail, and I knew by her eyes she was thinking that I looked like a slut. So I changed. Our mental connection was undeniable. We were kind of like those weird precogs in Minority Report, minus the ability to predict crime or pull off a Blade One. Mother was a desperate hypochondriac who insisted on wearing her sunbed goggles at all times for fear of iris-eating dust mites, and her father came from a long line of rich elderly people who liked wearing wax jackets around the house and pretending they'd read Ulysses. Growing up, we were exceptionally moneyed. There was a Prosecco tap in the bathroom, and our childhood treehouse was a duplex apartment carved into the body of a coniferous with a full-time valet and a functioning wet room. Sometimes it seemed like our father had more money than sense. He spent a small fortune on pool boys, despite us having no pool. Mother had had the whole thing filled in with cement years ago because she sensed it was plotting to give us all verrucas. Our father eventually left our mother for the priesthood and we never heard from him again, although a relative swears she once saw him holidaying in Corfu with Johnny Logan, which seems like the opposite of mass, but either way, once father left, we lost everything. The money dried up, as did the Prosecco tap, and eventually all that were left were some lobster mallets and two dehydrated pool boys. Mother was devastated, not by the departure of father, who she used to refer to as human man pig, but it was the loss of lifestyle she had become accustomed to. She fell into a deep, deep depression and only left her room to get more ice cubes for her breakfast gin. Nicole and I were terribly worried about her and pitched in financially when we could, but nothing could recreate the financial tiger she'd been metaphorically dry riding for the last 20 years. Recently we noticed a change in Mother's mood. The depression has been lifting and she appears to be less destitute. She's gone from surviving on €1 Tesco donuts to swanning around the aisles of Donnybrook Fair and rinsing her undergarments in coconut water. Nicole and I were suspicious of her newfound wealth, so we ransacked her bedroom and found what looked to be either an exotic curtain hold or a, now I'm not going to use the N-word, mammary gland tassel. On closer inspection,
I'll tell Nikki what that is in a minute.
I know.
On closer inspection, we realised it was the latter. Nicole was able to identify from her time in the Billy Barrys. We confronted Mother and she admitted that she has in fact been operating as a high-class escort for cash. We were appalled, but she refuses to stop. She says it has allowed her to get her independence back, but we can't understand why she just won't Airbnb like everyone else. How do we get her to stop? Confused. Leitrim.
Oh,
I'm confused as well as to what the main problem here. There was so much info on that.
There was. She kind of banged on a bit.
What do you do? Like, what do you do if your mother's an escort?
Basically,
that's the call out today.
Firstly, there's a couple of lessons here.
Yeah.
You don't know what your parents are up to. Always go through their room when you're over there. Mm-hmm. They're hiding all sorts. Butter wouldn't melt. Next thing you know, you find a machete or tickets to some weird techno festival in Berlin. That's my first advice.
Yeah.
Secondly, I think if she's making a bit of cash.
Sure, what harm?
I'm busy sleeping with lads for free.
I'm in
like.
Here for 3 hours every day. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean?
She works hard for the money.
You don't work at all.
Dim down the light. Now, I would suggest she tells the neighbour she's Airbnb-ing to explain the comings and goings of men to her door. Mm. Also, notice she said high-class escort.
So that's because she's setting her sights higher.
She's probably going out to very nice restaurants and bars and maybe even Dáil Éireann. Who knows where she's off to?
Okay, interesting.
Well, we're if you know what... So they want to know whether they should approach her, is that the question?
Basically, is it immoral to be working as a high-class escort to put your lackey back on? I don't think it is.
Not if you've got to live.
Not if he's bringing you out and about around town.
Exactly.
51552, if you know what to do with this scenario, 80889 if you're up north and you know what to do, text us in. Joe, you're going to hang around while we wait for the response to this.
I'd like to hear from people up the north. Yeah, that'd be nice.
You would do?
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say they've got a good opinion.
I get off on that accent. Can we get them on the air?
Yeah. Obviously, remember, Joanne is not...
Nikki, stop it.
An expert
I am a doctor. I hate when you do this
field.
I am a doctor.
He always takes you down.
I'm only just reading what's on my screen from the producer.
I saw there was a tweet went up last week and it was like, Joanne McNally, not real, no credentials, not a medical doctor. I did not favourite it.
Nikki,
I did not favourite that tweet, nor did I retweet it. I worked long and hard for my credentials. I don't like coming in here and being undermined.
51552, let us know what these people should do. Where are they again? They're in Leitrim.
They're in Leitrim, but sure, who knows where the two twins are now. Flat down in a pool up in the Alps. Isn't that where the Minority Poor twins are?
We're going to take a break and then we're back with more from Joe McNally. We've had a bit of a response to the letter that has come in, but just give us a quick recap.
1850 715 815.
Joe, give us a quick recap. Sorry, you need your microphone to do that, don't you? There you go.
The synopsis of this week's issue is basically two twins, very moneyed, used to drink out of a Prosecco top in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Father left mother with no money. She's now operating as a high-class escort. I think that's important.
That is important, darling.
And there's a
and she's admitted
issue.
This because it's not, they found tassels and
they found
stuff.
A mammary gland tassel. Okay. That attaches to the mammary gland of a woman. It's supposed to be erotic.
Okay, is she not? She couldn't be a burlesque dancer because she's admitted to being an escort.
Because she has actually, yes, admitted. Okay. You'd know that if you ever listened to me.
Well, some of the texts that have come in. The first text in, they're wondering what should they do. The first text in asks, how much does the mother charge?
I don't have that information, but I do have a return email address. So I'm sure this woman has some sort of bio somewhere or...
So we can find
a Twitter account.
Second text in said, no advice for that letter, but it is hilarious. Please podcast it so I can listen again. Brilliant.
That's laughing at someone else's misfortune, which I think that's not fair, is it, Joe?
Now, Kitty in Tremor.
Lucy and Leitrim, God love her.
Great Kitty in Tremor has nailed it. She says, that's easy. Easy answer. Tell them all to mind their own business. Simple.
Kitty, I agree with you to a certain extent, but I do think it's important to keep an eye on what your parents are doing because as they get older, they lose their run of themselves. They're all mumsy, eat your greens to your face, but honestly, they could be ordering all sorts of weird crap online.
Someone else said, I think you've overlooked one major all in capitals issue. The Prosecco tap has dried up. WTF kind of mother allows that to happen to her kids.
And who is this woman?
I think that's a
I want her
point.
To be my mother.
That is a fair point.
Someone else says there should be a safety warning before Dr. Joe comes on the radio. She nearly crashed the car laughing.
Oh please don't
God,
do that.
So there you go. Well, now, look, I don't know if you have the answer to this, to be honest. I don't know how we go with this.
I think this woman's living her life. She's making a bit of money. She's back shopping at Donnybrook Fair. They're the priorities.
She's not upsetting anyone.
No, she's not.
Do you know what I mean? And she's actually putting a smile on a lot of people's faces.
Well, we don't know what her quality of performance is like, but we'd hope that she is.
51552, if you want to get involved real quick, because we're going to go to the break. We've got to go to a song in the break in the news. Joe, you're gigging tonight, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, I am indeed. I am indeed,
Nikki. Okay, where can we go and see you, Joe?
Well, I'm in the International tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
in That's the International Bar in Dublin City Centre, for people who don't know.
Is. Yeah, sorry, I forgot that, yeah. Okay. And then I'm down in Kilkenny at the Cat Laughs on Saturday, having the time of my life down there. And then on June 13th, I'm gigging for Temple Street Children's Hospital in Vicar Street. There's 15 or 20 comedians.
13, 15, 15 or 20.
Yeah, one of those numbers. Don't have the press release. Don't be pedantic.
13,
15, there's a load of us. We're multiplying. We're like lemmings. We're like an infection. It's the Hunger Games of comedy. There's 25 of us gigging, only one of us survived.
It's a Royal Rumble.
It's in Vicar Street. Now tickets are 21 quid,
that
right?
I want to go to.
It's 21 quid.
Okay.
And it's to build a new renal and neurological outpatients building in Temple Street Hospital.
That is great.
Joe,
so
you know,
great
the most
cause.
Impressive part of that was you said all that without looking at a page.
I know.
Your brain was thinking ahead of you delivering it.
Yeah, my eyes
more impressive
my head
than
there.
That was the fact that Nikki actually tuned into you.
I did.
He gave his
he
full attention.
Charities, especially Temple Street, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's a great cause and like bang for your buck. There's because there's 68 comedians performing for 21 years.
I thought there was 119.
Shut up, Jane.
Joe McNally, everybody, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank
Dr.
you.
Joe, will you be back again next week? How do people email you their problems?
They email you my problems, Nikki, and you send them to me. That's how we've always done it.
And we're not going to start changing
we're
it now.
It's a new thing. So I guess mbshow@rte.ie now on the way just after 1 o'clock because it's Friday. We're going to be kicking off with our club sandwich. I can tell you the one song we've chosen so far is the Grid Swamp Thing because someone texted in for it earlier on. So,
well, ask Dr. Joe what
you
want.
Yeah, you
must have a huge.
Remember, we were just saying like Wes. And Bective and stuff.
Yeah, what was the songs back in the days?
Oh my God. Okay, so my favourite ever song.
First of all, how old are you, Joe?
I'm 32.
Okay.
Just turned. My favourite song is Glowworm, Carry Me Home.
I'll do that for you.
Thank
right,
you.
I've written that down. So we've got
when
the
was
grid.
That out, Jen?
That was out, God, I'm trying to remember what year that was. Around 97?
1994, I'm being told on the screen there. Okay.
Was it?
By who? Ronnie Outside.
Alan, she's
Ronnie.
Calling you
Did
Ronnie Corbett, by the way.
I said to him coming in, I said, what age are you? And he goes, 36. I was like, no way. You look way older than 36.
Oh, my God.
The rain, by the way, at this point has her hand over. If you can't believe that you're delivering that information and that those...
The rain all tanned from a holly pop in Portugal.
I have to go. Thank you very much, Joanne.
Thanks.